P, and I'm not sure where you're from, Penny. Polly, I'm sorry, Polly P. And I'm not sure where you're from. Maybe you could tell us where you're from. Thank you so much. You have to unmute, Polly.
Penny's worth a call. Polly's
I
worth
couldn't get to my unmute button. Thank you. Okay, my name's Polly Pistol, and I'm an alcoholic. And by God's grace, in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't had a drink since April the 11th of 1977. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I have a home group, which is the WestConnect group in Jacksonville, Florida. I have a sponsor, the amazing Rena Kay. I sponsor, and the women I sponsor, and so on and so forth. And I'm absolutely honored to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to your group. And I appreciate it. And I'm just looking around. I just had a blank of who invited me to come here. I can't even remember. At any rate, so sorry about that. At any rate, I'm just delighted to be here and thank you so much. And I'm supposed to speak on step two today. Now, I want to give you just a little bit of a little, I'm going to share a little bit with you. Today is January the 30th, and today is my husband Dave's 88th birthday. However, my husband passed in March. So I just want you to know that this is kind of a little, it's got me kind of, there's when life happens, we get to have all these firsts. So this is the first day. This is the first I'm gonna have. He's gonna have a birthday and he's not here. So today is one of my first with losing my husband Dave. I got sober in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous when I was 36. And so now you can see I'm coming up on 84 years old. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I feel like I'm as involved in this program as I've ever been. I'm an active member. I go to meetings. I sponsor people. I'm asked to speak at conferences. And in the last few years, I've learned all about Zoom. And I still, fortunately, I have one of the women I sponsor visiting me right now, and she's a lot techier than I am. So my computer was down, but she got it up for me. So all is great because when all this kind of technology starts, I seem to just get a blank spot. I tell you, this all seems very like too much for me. But at any rate, today I have been asked to share on step two. And what I'd like to do is, in order to build up to step two, I'd like to talk a little bit about step one and my entry into Alcoholics Anonymous. I did not know much about AA. And I will tell you, until I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, to my knowledge, I did not even know another alcoholic. I had not been around anybody that I was alcoholic. There's no alcoholism in my family. I've got a lot of it now because I didn't have any alcoholism in my family till me. But I seem to produce alcoholics. So both of my sons are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I had an amazing childhood. I am an only child. The thing that I had the most problem with being a child was, as I said, I'm 83 years old, almost 84 years old. And when I was a little girl, mothers didn't work. It was just unheard of for mothers to work. But my mother worked. My mother was a nurse and she worked. And I felt so different because none of my friends' mothers worked. Nobody worked, but my mother worked. So little girls, my friends couldn't come to my house because always the question was, your mother's not home. So they couldn't come to my house. I could only go to their house, or I had to go to like a daycare after school. So in that sense, I felt very different, even though I wasn't. And not only that, I'm an only child. And all I wanted was brothers and sisters, and I didn't have brothers and sisters. Now, probably if I'd have had them, I wouldn't have wanted them because none of my friends wanted them. So I just assumed that what happens is when we come into this world restless, irritable, and discontent, and that always we'll find something that somebody has better than us or we're not as good at. And I think that is just human nature. And also, my dad was a contractor, so he was a builder. And we moved a lot. And that also made me feel unsettled. However, I stayed the longest in Port Arthur, Texas. So I'd say I grew up in Port Arthur, Texas, because I did junior high and high school in Port Arthur, Texas. And when I was a senior, the summer before I was a senior, I met a boy. And he was 4 years older than me. He had already graduated from high school and he had gone off to aviation cadets. And he was going to be a pilot in the Air Force. And so during my senior year, I had fallen in love with him. And during my senior year, he was gone off to aviation cadets. I did my senior year. And when we got married in March that following year after I graduated from high school, and we were married for 22 years. And we had two sons, and he was a B-47 pilot. He flew B-47s and B-52s, and we got to travel the Northeast. We didn't get a whole lot of traveling that we got to do because the Strategic Air Command didn't move around as much as other people did. We stayed at our bases longer. And I loved the military. I absolutely loved the camaraderie. I find AA a lot like the military. But we got together, the women got together, and we played bridge, and we did luncheons, and we did a lot of things that socially that I feel like we do in AA. We have potlucks and we have a meeting anniversaries and we have birthdays when we celebrate everybody's anniversary. Here in our group, we have big birthday parties and I mean, we make it a big deal. If you're celebrating an anniversary, it's a big deal. And we all celebrate with you, and that's the way we did in the military, and I really, really love that life. And even though my husband was flying B-52s, he was flying B-52s over to Guam and to Guam and to Vietnam. And later, as the war was wearing down, he went on the ground as an advisor. And as an advisor on the ground in Da Nang, he contacted Agent Orange. And what happened was he would come back to the States And it wasn't very long, about 4 months maybe, that he became very ill. And we were stationed in Washington, D.C., and he was at the Pentagon, and he collapsed at work. And they took him immediately to a hospital where he spent a year in the hospital, and then he was retired. And we were retired from the military. And that's when my life began to change, because I loved doing all the things that I'd done in the military. I loved doing the things I had done with the women in the military, and I drank. And many, many times I would drink too much, but I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was, I really don't know what it was, but somehow or another, I didn't manage to have too many embarrassing moments. I had a lot of embarrassing moments in the military, a lot, but not so many that it made me even consider thinking about stopping drinking, because everybody we knew would drink too much from time to time. And certainly I was one of those people. But when we retired, that's when it got really bad, because the drinking ceased to be social. Now the drinking was everyday drinking. So I drank for quite a while. So I wasn't somebody that took a drink and then in a few years I was out of control. It took a while. But when it happened, it happened. When I crossed that line, I absolutely crossed that line. And my drinking became out of control. My kids were embarrassed. I became a real estate agent. And that's what I decided to do, since my husband was, we retired just right outside in Hearst, Texas, which is between Dallas and Fort Worth. And I became a real estate agent. And what would happen, because my husband was questioning my drinking, and I didn't want my friends to see me drinking so much. So I had a few houses that were listed that were new houses, and they were empty. And how do alcoholics think of these things? How do we think of ways to be? I mean, it's just amazing. So all of a sudden, I'm drinking in these empty houses, so nobody will see me. It's crazy. So my drinking got to a place that my husband came to me and he said, "Polly, I think you're an alcoholic, and I wish you would go to treatment." And what I went to was not treatment. What I first went to was a detox center. And I entered this detox center, and the man that was in that detox center had been a chaplain in the Navy. And he had been the equivalent, I forget what it is, but I think it's about the same, the equivalent of a light colonel in the Air Force. And he had been in the Navy, and he was out of the Navy now, and he was himself an alcoholic, and he was running this detox center. And I went into this detox center, and at first I was horrified to be in this detox center. They gave me some wonderful pills when I got there, and when I woke up, I looked around and I looked at these people, and I thought, "Oh my God, I'm not like these people. I mean, these people look like alcoholics." But I didn't think I did. And so I was in this detox center, and what happened was, I was in there for about 3 or 4 days, and my husband had been 100%, as I said, disabled from the military, and he was retired. And it had been a long time since I'd had any attention from men, and I was getting a lot of attention in this detox center. And all of a sudden, my libido starts to come alive again, and these guys look really good. And so I ran off after that 7-day detox was over with this guy in the detox center. And while I was in there, of course, they were feeding us the steps, and they were showing us how we were alcoholic. And after a day, there was no problem seeing me accepting the fact that I was an alcoholic. Now, whether I liked it or not was another thing, but I had no problems accepting that I was an alcoholic. I certainly drank like an alcoholic. But as soon as that detox was over and I ran off with this guy, it wasn't very long until he and I were drinking again. And what happened is I ended up blacking out, and the director of this detox center came and found me in this house, and he brought me back to that detox center. And what happened was, by that second detox, I just never could believe that I knew that I was an alcoholic, but having relapsed, and I just never believed that I could really ever stay sober. And as soon as that detox was over, I had made a decision that I was going to take my life. And what I did is I ended up getting a bottle of vodka and some pills, and I went and I checked myself into this hotel room, and I was just going to drink myself to death. And as God would have it, I had a friend, and she went looking for me, and she found me in this hotel room, and she called 911, and I was taken to the hospital and to detox. And then my husband, while I was in detox, obtained a court order from a Fort Worth judge, and I was court committed to treatment. And in that treatment center, I was able to accept step one. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was an alcoholic. And I knew that I was an alcoholic. I was physically, mentally, and spiritually addicted to alcohol. And while I was in that treatment center, I accepted step two. And we were in this treatment center, and we were given the steps. And one of the things that I like to read and I like to always think about in step two in the 12 and 12 is, as it says in step two here, it says, when we encountered AA, the fallacy of our defiance was revealed. And I knew that I was defiant. I had been fighting something all my life. At no time had we asked what God's will was for us. Instead, we had been telling him what it ought to be. No man we saw could believe in God and defy him. Two, belief meant reliance, not defiance. And I knew I had to rely on God. And I knew it wasn't just know that God was there. I had to be reliant. I had to depend on God. God had to direct my actions and my thinking. In AA, we saw the fruits of this belief, men and women spared from alcohol's final catastrophe. We saw them meet and transcend their other pains and trials. We saw them calmly accept impossible situations, seeking neither to run nor to recriminate. This was not only faith, it was a faith that worked under all conditions. We soon concluded that whatever price in humanity we would pay, whatever the ticket was to sobriety, I was willing to pay. I was willing to do whatever I was told. I was willing to take step two and trust in God, come to believe. I was a Christian. I went to church. I believed in God, but I didn't have a faith like I have today. I had to come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I could see that alcohol had made me insane. I was insane. I was doing things that I would never have done. I was a very abusive parent to my sons. And when I would sober up, I was horrified that I could even begin to harm or hit or do the things. I'd mostly scream and yell and hit my two little boys. How can you do that? How can you be that way? And my husband was gone. He was in the military, so he was gone. So those kids were left with me. And I had to face myself. I had to see who and what I was. And when I could finally see who and what I was able to accept step two in its entirety, come to believe that this power would be what would keep me from doing the things that I felt like I was so ashamed of. That power would help me to accept and forgive myself. My sons had long forgiven me. They had forgiven me. Mom, you didn't mean to. You were just drunk. You didn't mean to. And I couldn't accept that. I felt like no matter how drunk somebody can be, how can they harm the most precious thing in their life, these two beautiful sons? How could I do that? How could I not take care of them? I would pass out, and these little boys would have to just fend for themselves. It was very difficult. But God gave me, I was able to come to believe in that power. I'd always believed in God. I was raised a Christian. I knew there was a God. But I began to have a faith that was different, a faith that I could feel, a faith that worked inside of me. And Alcoholics Anonymous gave me a big, big, big God. And I have that big, big, big God today. I feel like in my situation, in March, I lost my husband. Today is my husband's birthday. And all day today, I kept thinking, how am I going to do that? How am I going to speak on Dave's birthday? And all I know is that Dave loved AA as much as I love AA. We were dedicated to this program. Our whole marriage, we met in Alcoholics Anonymous. We married. I left my first husband for Dave. It didn't start off in a very good way. But I can tell you, Dave and I were married for 42 years, and we dedicated our life to Alcoholics Anonymous. We love this program so much. And I love the power that lives within me. I found for real. I always knew about it, but I found it deep within. And it's been with me, and it directs me. And I'm so grateful that I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that I am a person who gets to go to meetings, who gets to sponsor other women, who is been given the gift of sobriety for 42 years, for 46 years. What do I mean, 42? For 46 years, I've been given the gift of sobriety. And for that, I am forever grateful. And I thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Thank you so much, Polly. It was great to hear you.